This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Del Paso, by the Rio Grande. Take your corner by the hand and promenade the Rio Grande. You will go back home to old El Paso.
More of Ernie Kinney there from Hi Hat Records, the square dance music label he bought nearly 40 years ago. I think he lost count of all the records he made and all the records they sold. While his love for music started early, he didn't get into square dancing till he moved to California later on, coaching, teaching, and becoming the superintendent in Cantua Creek on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley. But he had to play a little basketball and baseball first as a post-war college athlete. Let's get to that. How'd you go from World War II Marine to back home as a husband, father, and college athlete?
Well, I came home and got out in Marine Corps in November. In January 46, I enrolled at Oklahoma A&M. And I went straight through 3 years, 12 months a year, went to summer school and the August intercession, the whole thing, went straight in. And I graduated in January of 49 in 3 years. And then I went another semester to do graduate work. And then I got a job coaching in Hominy, Oklahoma. Coached basketball and baseball, assistant football coach, and taught 8 classes a day. My first year of experience.
Oklahoma A&M, that's the same school that we know now as Oklahoma State, right?
It was Oklahoma A&M back when I went.
I'm just putting two and two together. That means your basketball coach would have been the legendary Henry Iba, right?
No, Hank Iba.
He didn't want you calling him Henry.
No, Hank Iba.
Well, tell me about him. This is a Hall of Fame coach, legendary coach there in Stillwater. What was he like to play for?
Well, I didn't get to shoot the basketball unless I stole it the first year I played. We had to play defense. He was strictly a defensive coach, and the 10-second rule came in as a halftime, and you know, the half court. All right, gentlemen, we're not going to do any more full court presses. They got to come to us in 10 seconds now anyway. So that was some of his things, and I don't think I invented the shot, but he said, Ernie, where'd you get such silly little shot you got? Of course, everything, these free throws were underhanded and back then, and anyway, I said, what, coach? He said, well, you dribble down there and you jump up and shoot with one hand. I said, well, I'm the shortest guy out there. I've got to jump up and shoot. So Bob Curlin was our first 7-footer. And we were playing St. Louis. Bob had 35 points at the first half. And Mr. Iba said, just give Bob the ball the second half. Okay. So we did. He scored 52 points. And that time broke the NCAA scoring record. So Monday we get back and we're sitting and talking. Blew his whistle. We went over to sit down by the wall. And I'm sitting right by Bob. He said, gentlemen, I got to talk to you. Some of you are going to be playing amateur basketball when you leave here, which the Phillips 66ers were the best team in the country then. Right. And some of you may be playing professional ball. Some will be coaching. If you ever have a player with you or playing for you that scores more than 35 points a game, he's either lucky or making a damn fool of himself. Bob just melted right there beside me. And we were playing University of Kentucky in New Orleans. They come in with 76-point scoring average. And we beat them 37-35. And next day we went on a bus trip through New Orleans, and I was with Wawa Jones, played at University of Kentucky. He's a guard, good one. I said, what is Coach Rupp chewing you out for last night when he put you on the bench? He said, well, he told him, why in the hell don't you shoot the basketball? J.L. Parks was guarding him. And I said, what'd you tell him? I said, how in the hell can I when that guy's got his hand in my face all night?
What position did you play, and did you get a lot of playing time?
I was a guard. I got to play quite a bit.
Were you part of the starting five?
Not until I was a junior.
Who was your guy's biggest rival?
Well, St. Louis. Back then, they were a good basketball team. And, of course, we just played Kentucky in that Sugar Bowl Classic the only time we played them. You know, back then, if you don't make your grades, you don't play. Make a C or better, you don't play basketball or you don't play anything else. I was playing baseball, and we was playing the University of Kentucky. I played third base, and I got a one-hopper right here one day. I'll never forget it. Picked up and threw the guy out and then passed out. I said, how long have I been out? It's about 10 seconds.
The hot corner and Corsair have the same effect on you, huh?
Right.
I asked you about Iba a little bit, but obviously his name is on the arena there now, and nationwide he's regarded as one of the pioneering coaches in college basketball. Was there one thing that you think back on? You told us some funny stories there, but was there maybe one point he emphasized or one thing you felt like you got from him that was helpful?
Well, I coached basketball, you know, several years, and we learned to play defense. I taught him to play defense. Back then, when I was at Texas, we had a good defensive basketball team. I was there 2 years and went to state finals second year. We kept the basketball until we got the good shot. Of course, there wasn't any 65-point scores or something like that. Everything I learned from him.
One of the things you spend your time with still today, and I mentioned earlier, it's taken you all over the world, is square dance calling. Tell us what that is for people who don't know and how you got sucked into this world, and it sounds like it's changed your life.
Well, I got started in Cantua Creek. We had a club called Buckles and Ruffles, and Rabbit O'Quinn was our caller, and I'd go around with him to Mendota. He'd call for them and sing songs. I grew up singing songs. And in fact, when I was in Illinois, right after we got out of high school, I was sitting one Saturday afternoon, in the front yard picking a guitar and singing. Next door neighbor gal comes over. She started singing with me, and we sound pretty good together. She's an old lady. She's 22, I think. She said, well, why don't we get an audition down at the Champaign radio station? I said, okay, but we need a piano player. Oh, she said, I know one. So she gave me his name and phone number, and I called him, and he invited me over to his house. I went over, and he started playing the piano, and I started singing with him. He started singing with me. And his younger brother, about my age, come up and start singing. We got a pretty good trio going. Whew. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go with you and her down to Champaign for the audition, and one of the three of us go to Tuscola and see if we can get the radio station down there. So we did. So we wound up in both places. She and I got an hour-long show in Champaign, an hour-long a week, and we got an hour-long a week down at Tuscola. So we started singing. And I still had my job at the University of Illinois, too, you know. But that's how I got started singing, and out at Cantua Creek, the square dance caller, I'd go with him, and I got to going with him. When I was in high school, I got to sing at WKY in Oklahoma City, and I never was so scared in my life sitting in front of that microphone and singing a song. We didn't know what a microphone was then. So my mama's forced me 5 years to take piano lessons. My dad caught me practicing piano one day with my baseball glove on, and that ended that. And I was in Marine Corps at Norman, Oklahoma. Guy comes out one day and says here in your papers that you played a clarinet in high school. And I said, yes. Said, would you like to play with the band here? I said, what mean? He said, well, you can play taps and reveille if they need you, and play, get Wednesday Night Liberty and play at all Oklahoma City Indians home baseball games. I said, I'll do it. So that's the way I got into music. Square dancing's taken me around the world. When I introduce my new classes, square dancing is done in 25 different countries in the world now. It's all in English. All square dancing is English, except UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Texas.
What do you get out of it? Because I think, you know, some people have never experienced square dancing. To others, it's a lost art. What do you enjoy about it? What keeps you going at almost 90 years old?
What'd you say? Well, I introduce to my class members and the people I teach to call square dancing, like I used to do my teachers. I tell square dance callers, if you're going to square dance, be a square dance caller, you got to love people. Teachers, if you're going to teach here, you got to love children. And that's the way I feel about it. I like people, even you.
Glad I haven't ruined it for you yet. Do you have a signature call or anything that people know it's you calling a square dance when they hear a certain phrase or the way you say something? Or is there something that you've got a reputation for?
You'd have to ask them. I don't know. I just have my own lesson plans that I've written up years, all through the years. And everything is done at Caller Lab, an international caller association, which I served as chairman for 3 years. Can you imagine being chairman of a group of 25 board members? First year I became chairman, I said, look, guys, if a couple of you back there got something you need to talk about, get out in the corridor and talk about it. When you finish, come back and join us. If you got something, any of you got anything to say that's already been said, just keep your seat. And these meetings are going to 2.5 hours instead of 5 hours. And we did. No, I like people. I like kids. I love kids.
Well, I'm just thinking back myself personally. I don't think I've square danced since I was in about the sixth grade. And I think back then I was just freaking out about which girl I was going to have to put my arm through her arm. But for people who aren't into square dancing or maybe have never tried it or haven't done it in years, what would you tell them that is a reason to take it up again?
A 2.5 hour square dance, usually, if you like exercise, you will follow, dance every tip, and dance 4.5 to 5 miles if you dance every tip. But it's all to music, and you don't realize you're even walking.
Would you say that all the square dance stuff is what keeps you young and keeps your golf game going?
No, I'm born to be young. I think that I like people, so that's why I keep calling square dances.
Born to be Young, is that the new album from Hi-Hat Records?
Probably it.
So keep your eyes out for that. And hey, if you would like to experience this legendary square dance caller for yourself, you have 2 spots where you can find him every week, like clockwork. If Clovis is closer for you, he's at the Clovis Senior Center every Thursday night at 6:30. And speaking of Clovis, I want to commend and thank the Clovis Veterans Memorial District for again lending its support to Central Valley Honor Flight because of the generosity and stewardship of the CVMD board funding their journeys. 14 World War II veterans who live within the CVMD borders will experience their memorial in Washington, D.C. next month. There are so many wonderful volunteers working on Honor Flight in all the areas where this program is heard, and I don't want to miss a chance to thank those who step up with incredible support, like the Clovis Veterans Memorial District. And Clovis, again, is where you can find Ernie Kinney every Monday night with the Square Dances, or if you're closer to Kings County, the Square Dance Hall on Fargo Avenue in Hanford is the place to be on Thursdays, Thursday nights, 7 to 9:30. You'll hear that voice that has taken Ernie all over the world, the oldest active square dance caller in the world. I don't know if I came close to doing your accomplishments justice, but we've covered a pretty wide range from serving with a Marine Corps fighter squadron in the Pacific to playing for Hank Iba at Oklahoma State, square dancing. I do have a couple more questions for you, but I don't want to forget to say thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us about it. Well, let me ask you this. Have you been to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. yet?
I had a couple of good friends here at the golf club that did, but I hadn't heard about it until it was over. When they came back, they told me about it.
Did they say they had a good time?
Oh, yes. They had a good time.
So if we were to try to get you on an honor flight, we'd have to fit it into your busy world traveling schedule.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, something like that.
And how often you play golf?
I don't play. I work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I just try to hit the ball.
Uh-huh. How's that coming?
I'm getting better all the time. I first joined Belmont Country Club. I was a 2 handicapper at Riverside. And now I'm 31 at Belmont.
Question is, do you have any holes in one?
Oh, yes. At Belmont, I've got 3 on number 2, 3 on 13, and 1 on 11. That's all I've got out there.
And can you still shoot your age? That's a big question, because in theory, it might be getting easier because you keep getting older.
I can't get it. I'm not in the hundreds yet. First time I shot my age was 11 days after I turned 71, about 50 times since.
Oh, is that all? Man, you're making a lot of guys jealous. You don't play, you just work, right? You just try to hit that ball. I think we've gotten a taste of the humor and humility of Ernie Kinney today. If you see Ernie and his wife Lanny at a square dance anytime soon, make sure you thank him for serving our country. And maybe you can get some more stories out of him. 89 years young, or as he says it, celebrating the 60th anniversary of his 29th birthday. Quite the character. You never know what you're going to hear on Hometown Heroes. Remember, if you have a veteran in your life you think I need to talk to, email me, paul@hometownheroesradio.com. That's paul@hometownheroesradio.com. Out of time on the program this time, but I hope you'll join us again next time when we are reminded again through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.